My life right now is so busy. I mean, have you been watching Orange County this season? If I was a Shan stan before, imagine what my day is like now. It does not leave a lot of time to, God forbid, make a meal from scratch. That's why I am so thankful for Cook Unity. Cook Unity helps with a variety of restaurant quality food from award-winning chefs delivered to your door straight to the clofus, all at a fraction of the cost and time you're spending now. Indian food brings me so much joy. It's one of my favorite things to eat. So thank goodness for Cook Unity because I was able to enjoy chana masala thanks to Chef Lena. My favorite legume, as many of you know, is a beloved chickpea, so there is no better dish. Indian spices, chickpeas, sautéed cabbage and kale, coconut basmati rice, and even a vegan yogurt with fresh herbs. There's no cleanup or meal planning. Browse the menu by protein, chef, cuisine, or dietary need. You're sure to find food you'll love. Take a load off and let Cook Unity handle dinner. Affordable food crafted by award-winning chefs delivered to your door. Go to cookunity.com/andyscrolls or enter code andyscrolls before checkout for 50% off your first week. That's 50% off your first week by using code andyscrolls or going to cookunity.com/andyscrolls. Don't put me to the test unless you're ready for my best.
I may write on a whiteboard, but with me, you're never bored.
Wait, can I just say that I just think one of like the highest forms of emotional intelligence with taglines is rhyming, and I never rhyme. And I thought of that this morning.
You did great.
Thank you. I just honestly patted myself on the shoulder because I was like, you did it, girl. Like, you did it.
That was good.
I really did it.
You really did. That was a good one. That might be like a bring back keeper.
So I don't repeat. I don't intentionally
repeat.
For like
a different scenario. Like, you know, when someone's like, hey, what's your housewife's tagline out of nowhere?
100%.
I'd be like, oh, I have this one ready to go.
Although, you know what? My favorite tagline, so I've done over 500. My favorite one is one that someone said to me. I don't even remember if it was as a joke or what. And I was like, this is very funny. And it was my septum may be deviated, but my taste never swerves.
I'm obsessed. Is that not iconic? With that. That's a good one. You might need that like needle pointed and framed.
You know what? We are in the compass. We're just waiting for a pillow. Honestly,
right?
Any day.
Not that our guy won't do, but.
Yeah, you are sitting on the Chris Manzo honorary chair. There is a Chris Manzo body pillow, a small one.
I'm not insane. Yeah.
And no, it was
just
gifted
a tiny
to me.
Little one. Yeah. I'm giving him a nice hug.
It is very fun because you can see like the look of confusion on maybe like Bravo Lebs when they walk in and have no idea who he is, but
so
also on like creators when they're like, why is this happening?
Side character, right. But an important character to a lot.
Honestly, main character energy in my life.
Agreed.
And we are here for it. You guys, it's Andy's Girls. It's episode 581 or two-ish,
crazy.
Maybe a three. I know. I'm so excited for this Kiki with this return guest. You know her as a content creator and brand marketing specialist. Welcome back to the clofus, Abby Bonadies. Abby, how are we?
We are good. We are so happy to be back. I haven't been here since May.
No.
Which feels like a long time. So
forever.
We're ready to go.
Well, listen, since you are a brand marketing specialist, I do just need to take a moment.
Let's take a moment.
Thank you. I've been dealing with something emotionally that I've been talking about on Instagram, which is the fact that I was in the hospital last week, which you know about.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, during that time, which I certainly don't regret, shout out to all the first responders, but I was not my own best first responder. And at some point, during that period of time in which I was in an ambulance and then in a stretcher in the ER and then back home, I somehow lost my beloved. Honestly, my look and my brand.
It is your look. It is your brand.
It is
so tragic.
This is truly like, I'm honestly like, I'm attempting to make a joke out of it, but I'm devastated. My 10-year plus long-term relationship, longer even than my relationship with AGs, which was at this point my longest term relationship, my discontinued Celine sunglasses prescription. Adds an extra couple bucks to get those prescription lenses, have gone missing in action. I don't know where they are. I've contacted the wonderful people at Lenox Hill ER Security. I've contacted the cab that I took on the way home. And I've looked in every inch of this house, also known as an apartment, and I cannot find it anywhere. And AGs, I've, you know, lost my mind on social. AGs have reached out because they know that, you know, it's the Celine Tildas.
Yeah, it's a look. And an Amazon dupe is not going to do it.
No, because the problem with dupes, and I love dupe, the dupe economy, but I know that it's a dupe. I don't care about anybody else 100%. Except for me.
Yep.
When it comes, well, I mean, in, well, you in, can't in other
do,
areas.
You can't, yeah, and you can't do a prescription dupe.
Can you not?
I don't know.
I feel like you could.
Maybe.
Because they're made to order. So you could put a prescription in, I think, anything.
True. All right.
It's not
by retract.
I know. Celine isn't doing the dupe. My local optometrist
could dupe it up for
shout
you.
Shout out Lens and Forevermore. Lens Optical or whatever. So I have looked everywhere. There are a couple available on like resale sites, but they're all fucked up. And I just, first off, have no budget for this, number one. But I need my personality back because I don't know who I am anymore. Yeah.
It's... You're finding yourself. Maybe there will be a new look that will come to you and you'll be like, it's a whole new chapter. Like 10 years, you said, right? That's a decade. Maybe it's new chapter. Maybe we get a new sunglass.
Why would
I want... Should we make that a series where you go and try to find your next look that you're committed to?
So I have done that. I went to Bergdorf and Celine. And in Celine, I guess I am now officially a New Yorker, even though I've lived here for 100 years, because the Celine, unfortunately, was robbed while I was inside it. And I have never been present.
I have never been present for that.
For a robbery before. And thank God everybody was okay. It was just a couple gentlemen. They came in. There was a loud tussle because they had just come in, obviously had a plan, had a strategy, knew how to execute, and just grabbed essentially everything in the window. So the window was then barren and then fucking hustled out. And then right after that happened, a store unrelated to Celine, but just also on Madison, called Celine and said, heads up, there are a couple guys who are coming in for their five-finger discount plus a couple extra hands.
Too late.
Yeah. And so it was actually, I was like, oh, that's nice that you guys were like telling each other, but also a little bit
that they have to.
Yeah. But the number one most important thing is that everybody was okay.
Totally. You included.
Me included. Well, except for my sunglasses. So, but like that's the, you know, with that can turn bad quick.
Very.
So it's easy for me to say this. I wasn't the one that was robbed, but like, thank God everybody was okay.
Totally.
That's to me. And they're insured.
Just
like
a bag swindle. Nothing crazy.
I mean, I'm sure it was like tens of thousands of dollars of damage. But
for
you
them.
Know what? You know, we are my SaaS priceless. Number one.
Love.
Number one. And it was also interesting because the salesperson like wanted to go back to chatting. And I was like, can we focus on this?
Yeah, I think I'm out of here, actually.
No, I stayed because I was like, there's more of this story to be told. And I was just watching the everything that happened following, which was fascinating. Anyway, suffice it to say, I am trying a couple different looks. But like the way that some people think of makeup or nail design or other ways to like add a little zhuzh and personality have always been these specific frames. No joke. Like I'll go out in sweats or whatever the way I live every day of my life. But when I have those sunglasses on, I feel invincible. It's my superhero cape.
It's kind of like Angie K's sunglasses.
But but not, I mean this with all
not
love,
nearly
not a joke.
As insane.
I don't know what
hers actually
brand.
Look good.
So there are a couple maybes that I'm trying, but it's tough.
It's tough. Well, I'll be thinking of you every time I see a new sunglass. I need updates, obviously.
Thank you.
But I maybe the universe will bring them back to you.
You know what? I did I put a mug down upside down.
Okay.
I Googled St. Anthony, shalom. I was like, anybody who can friend up in this situation. My friend James told me a Spanish thing that you can do to tie a cloth into four and you say this like sort of prayer.
Okay.
Each time you tie a a cloth into a corner. So I did that four times, except I actually did that several more times because I decided to use a towel instead of a cloth.
And really I couldn't figure out. I swear.
And so it's like, it was out on my counter, but yeah. I don't want to think you were walking into a sociopath's den, or at least you already know that anyway. So I like hit it, but like I'm all back of these again. Things are still, I know, all these things are still out. We're just going to hope for the best.
We're hoping for the best. Yeah. Well, there's just some nice gentlemen on the Upper East Side wearing them on the sidewalk, and you'll see one day you picked them up off the ground and you'll be like, oh, there they are.
The one thing that does give me peace is the fact that because they are prescription, you will have to pay to get lenses put in regardless. So this is not a free old pair of Celine. This is Celine with a to-do list. This is a honey-do list, Celine.
That is. That's why I think they're going to come back to you. I feel it.
Yeah.
One can only hope.
One can only hope. These are the invisible costs of being sick. I am more distraught about this than truly anything else medically, which tells you something about my personality.
Well, it's a good outlook to have because you could dwell on the negative, and you just have a such positive outlook. And it's like amazing, I think, with everything that you have going on. You're like, I'm going to worry about the sunglasses and talk about housewives. And I think all of us should focus on the fun stuff a little bit more.
I'm very into you reframing my obsession with a positive out. There's nothing about this that is positive. So I appreciate you finding the positivity in me losing my fucking mind.
You're also making people feel better who also lose their minds about losing things. Like my husband is, I simply can't put into words what it's like when he misplaces a sock in the laundry. So if he were to lose a sunglass, I'm sure we'd be going down the same experience. So you're making people feel seen.
Well, I also feel like sunglasses are something that it's so easy to get and to lose. But my thing is like, I know the irony is I'm saying I never lose them, but I really don't ever lose them.
10 so years with okay. sunglasses is crazy. Like, I don't think I've ever had a pair of sunglasses for more than like 2 years. I lose them all the time.
Oh, really?
Which is why I can't commit to a Celine sunglass, though I would love.
Well, one could argue it's a ridiculous waste of money for like, because you can find excellent inspired by subs.
I stick with more of like a Ray-Ban.
I love Ray-Ban.
Yeah. And like, I was on a ski trip. I got a Maui gym. Very.
I don't even know what that is, but I love it.
I didn't either. Okay. They are unbelievable.
Really?
Like the lenses are just like so clear and like wonderful seeing outside, and they fit so comfortably. I'm like, I might become like a ski dad energy girl with these Maui gyms, but I love them.
Well, not to shift gears a little bit, but in the morning, in the lead up to you making your triumphant arrival to the Clawfiss, I decided to do a deep dive into some long form interviews of with various Orange County housewives.
Oh, yeah.
So I was halfway through one with Tamra, all done by His Holiness Bryce Sander at Entertainment Tonight, who I love.
Yep.
Who I cherish, who is such a great interviewer. There's so many different ways of doing interviews. And I just love his, it's just a long form video. I mean, long form meaning like 15, 20 minutes. And he just gives every single housewife that he has on, he's just like, here's your platform, say what you want. And then I think we as a community pull from that.
I need to watch
whatever
those.
We desire. They're great. So I watched Alexis first. Oof. And then I took a minute and I was like, wow, wow, wow.
Then you meditated.
Then I meditated. I had already watched Heather Dubrow's. Then I watched Shannon's, which was a little spicy, had a little edge.
Okay.
And then
she's your girl.
She is my girl. And then I was watching Tamra's. But the focus really for me, I think, was Alexis.
Let's dive in.
Well, it's just like, I just kind of watched her. I hate when people start in and kind of make a joke of mocking a woman's intelligence.
Yes.
Because I just think it's framed, regardless of who says it, it's framed around such a sort of sexist lens sometimes, not always.
Yeah.
But just to quantify a woman's character by maligning her intelligence to me is often tough. Like, maybe we'll get to this, but people, you know, they're just different ways to communicate. We've seen that on New Jersey, for example.
I knew that was coming.
It doesn't mean that person is wrong in saying stuff, but it does mean it's a great way to just write off a person's behavior by being like, they're just an idiot.
Dumb.
Like, they don't have capacity, which I think if you want to argue, you know, why give the person an out by just saying you're an idiot? You know, like, we can go a little deeper than that. But I do have to say safe space, because I really just have to be super honest. I was just watching her answers to things in long form, and I just thought to myself, and I really don't mean this to be an asshole. I genuinely don't. But if safe I'm going to be perfectly honest, I just genuinely thought to myself, you know what? She just might be dumb.
She just doesn't have the capacity.
She doesn't. Or the willingness.
And it's an awareness, I think, is a big part of it, because the lack of with her is astounding. Self-awareness and awareness of others as well. Like her, just the way she talks about other people and has no clue how she actually carries her own self is just grinds my gears.
She really honestly has been on the mind, because I was listening to an archived episode. It might have actually been two different episodes of Alexis on Jeff Lewis Live from 2019. And there was just something about her where I was like, I could really listen to this person for a couple hours.
Yeah.
She has this kind of just interesting personality. She's from a totally different universe than anything
that's
to me
true.
New York City related. So I like someone who exists in an entirely different landscape, because I find that interesting.
Right. That is what I love about a lot of the people we meet on Bravo. Mm. Like, that is what originally got me like into Southern Charm. Because I'm like, I have, being from the Northeast, you know, I'm like, I have no idea what's going on in the South. And then I watched that and I was like, this is just fascinating. So I get what you're saying about Alexis. And I actually just did Orange County from the beginning all this summer.
Oh my God.
Into this new season, because I've actually only done like a little bit of the beginning, some of the middle, and then kind of gave up. So I did it like deep dive in absolute record timing. I had no personality other than watching Orange County. Like, I had it on my phone, on my OctoBuddy, on the mirror while I'm brushing my teeth. I brought it on my iPad, onto the treadmill, like TV at all times. Like, I watched it faster than I could possibly even explain. So Alexis didn't feel that far away for me when I just got reintroduced to her in this new season, season 18, right? And it's just been like a wild experience for me to feel like I haven't waited as long as everyone else, because I just really refreshed myself. It's been a journey.
So what season were you on last week, for example?
No, I'm caught up now.
So at that point, last week, what season were you on? Like, how quickly have we gone through this? Were you going through like a season every couple days? Was it like...
Yeah, no, I was like a season every couple days. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, it probably took me like 2 months to do all 18.
You know what's sad is that I literally just had 3 weeks.
3 weeks. I did do some other things. Okay. But it was...
That's where we differ.
And I tried not to like scrub through too much reunion stuff, because there's so much in OC reunions that actually matter, which was something I found that like in others, there's just like a lot of repetitiveness. But in OC, since they are so involved in each other's lives elsewhere... Mm. There actually is a lot of substance to the reunions, unlike somewhere it's like, I don't see you until we start filming.
So what does scrubbing through mean? Oh, meaning
like
you
fast forward
through
it. Yeah.
Oh, you
yeah.
focused on it.
I focused. I added the reunions into my focus.
Wait, okay. I have so many questions for you. So how does that impact your view of the women this season? Were you watching the new season and then decided to go back and watch from the beginning?
No.
Or you went back to the from the beginning and then you were like, I'm going to catch up through now.
Exactly. The latter. So I was like, I know season 18's coming. And I'd already had this plan, because I just did Atlanta last year. Mm-hmm. And I mean, everything else I've seen. But Atlanta inspired me to like really go back to OC and go in. And I finally got the guts to do it. So that's why I was like, okay, everyone's talking about how good this new season's going to be. I need to be in the talking like arena of where we're going to go here, because for a while everyone was like, meh, OC got kind of bleh, and a lot of people gave up on it. So I'm like, everyone's talking about it again. I need to get back in the conversation. So it was basically decided when the announcement date of season 18 was coming out. And I was like, okay, I really need to grind it out so I can catch up. And I probably caught up by week like 3 of the season. Okay. So I've watched the last 3 weeks in real time.
I have so many follow-up questions for you. who was your standout? from any season or any just individual cast member, yep, personality, housewife, was there someone who just kind of really stood out for you for better or worse?
I could do two.
Okay.
Like, I now have regained my appreciation for Vicky. I know it is like a really tough one for people because so many people want her back. So many people said her time is up. Like, there is a lot to go into there, but like seeing, like, she was part of my life for the last 3 months, like all about her. And I'm like, I just have such a love for that woman. I can't even explain it. And I actually thought of yesterday, I know she went through a little bit of a health scare.
Yeah, she had a huge health scare.
But before I saw that news, I really was hoping that she would be on Dancing with the Stars.
Oh my God. Was she being talked about?
No, I just like thought of it. And I was like, it would just be so funny. Like, I could just see her on the dance floor, like whooping it up in like a gold shimmer dress. But maybe that's like a pipe dream for season 35, 36 of Dancing with the Stars. But my other standout is I love Heather.
Yeah.
I just love her. She is so entertaining to me. I can't get over, I mean, the house, the cars, the Terry of it all. Like, I just love it. I love it. Can't get enough. And I do, I know you are Shannon number one. Like, she has just gone through it. Mm. Like, talk about someone who actually put it all out there. Mm-hmm. She needs more respect, I think. Like, put some respect on Storm's Bedore's name. She is not going to the door, Bedore.
I mean, that's what one of the moments that stood out for me. And again, you can watch all of these of Brace's interviews on YouTube. Yeah. I highly recommend them. But Alexis going in and saying, Shannon has nothing to talk about, so she's talking about us. And I thought to myself, you can say a lot of things, mm-hmm, about Shannon Bedore, and I'm honestly open to it. Right. I'm a Shan stan, but Shan stans, we're open to conversation. It's why we Shan our stan, why, yep, we stan our Shan.
And Shan stans you.
And she, you know what? It's a mutually, yes. She does not stan me, but I stan her enough for both of us.
Yes.
But to say that Shannon Bedore does not have anything to discuss. You can say so much about Shannon, but the thing that's tough to say is that her life is not bringing any content to the table.
It's just actually factually inaccurate. Mm. Like, it's not opinionated. It's just inaccurate. She has so much to talk about to the point where it's like, she just really is on display. If I need to, because we'll go into Jersey next. But she really puts it all on display, Shannon. So Alexis is wrong.
So in watching the newest episode of Orange County and having just been through, sped through, yeah, deep dived the Alexis seasons, how do you kind of feel about Alexis's role on this season, and also I think a hope from the community before the season started that she was going to maybe be a breakout?
I actually had that same hope because I kind of enjoyed her. She certainly made me laugh. She was very entertaining, and I'm actually also on my cinematic Below Deck journey, doing every single Below Deck spinoffs all in like chronological order.
Jesus.
So that was happening at the same time as OC, and I got to the Alexis episode where she goes on Below Deck with a boyfriend after her and Jim get divorced, and she is intolerable on that episode of Below Deck. You might just need to watch that one single episode because it is insane. Her and her boyfriend are like tongues down each other's throats, humping in the hot tub, like literally so annoying the entire time, where I was like, okay, maybe now that she's not with Jim, she's going to be like obnoxious. And like, just like that, she certainly was. So it gave me a little bit of a foreshadowing of how she was going to be now that she's quote unquote back on TV. So I had high hopes until I saw that Below Deck episode and then started to see the chatter of how annoying she was being, and then saw for my own eyes her confessionals. I'm like, just stop talking.
Yeah.
That's how I feel.
Well, the most distressing thing for me, so I had I thought I had misspoken on a prior AG when talking about the reveal of these secret videos, because I thought that what they were going to be revealing was like videos including the night of the DUI, but also other stuff. And then
that's what I thought.
Well, then I was corrected and I was like, oh no, it's just the night of the DUI. Well, then I'm watching the Entertainment Tonight interview and Alexis does say it's not just the night of the DUI. They have other videos of Shannon that they want to reveal. And she does the thing that Tamara has also done of wait until the reunion, because Alexis is planning to bring this stuff. And it's just so, it's just such a wild choice.
It's a very wild choice, because that, those videos are not like she's, you know, taking her top off and dancing at Andale's and like hanging out with some sketchy peeps. Like, that's like life changing, family altering, horrible videos. And I mean, from what we understand that they are, they could really wreck her. And that's just, it's so unnecessary. You got your Johnny J. Leave her alone.
Well, that's the thing that's so weird, because to think of the effort. So if this is maybe several instances of something, we have no idea what, because all we're getting is they're telling us, they're inferring that it's very serious. We don't actually know because we haven't seen anything.
Right.
Not that I'm asking to. But from what we are led to believe, it's like periods of some sort of disarray, chaos, whatever, which just, I just think of the operations involved in this of like, okay, so you just saved security footage from your Ring or whatever over time and then started to edit them down.
Mm-hmm.
So this is, Johnny J is running his own Orange County style shed media production company, because he, if you take potentially very sad or possibly shocking,
alarming,
whatever,
yeah,
and you edit that down into a teaser reel of Shannon is bad and remove yourself, I'm sure, from any of it, because it's not a mutually toxic relationship. It was truly just Shannon and then here's this guy, John. You're going to be able to show whatever narrative you want. I'm not excusing Shannon's behavior, but I am saying it is a like wildly gross thing to be dating someone for so long and the entire time potentially just saving footage that you have of her. It's giving me like era of stalking mode. Like, you're in pre-stalk mode of, I'm one day going to be able to have this stuff and use it, or at least know what to reference. It genuinely creeps me out.
It creeps me out. It makes my stomach hurt. Like, thinking about him plotting that and then adding the Alexis of it all, dating someone who used to be on the show so they could both get back into the show, so they could like manipulate the situation enough where it would be okay for him to release this footage. And I say okay in quotes because it's not gonna be okay regardless. But I think in their minds, they're like, okay, well, now it's a storyline. We've got to prove our point. Now I can release the footage. And it's just gross. It's gross. And it's so unnecessary. Like, let her move on. You two have moved on.
They haven't, though.
I know.
They keep, the reason for their upset is seemingly she won't allow us to move on. But like, sweetie, take back some power. You're on her show right now.
Yep. Welcome back to her world.
I mean, but for real, but like, you should be coming on with your own story. You cannot obsess over the fact that her story is connected to yours while prolonging it. You're continuing this relationship by focusing on her. And it's so odd. And then also in the interview, she talks about the fact that, you know, like, his life is my life. We have two businesses together. We have the same checking account.
Ah.
And I'm just thinking to myself, oh, sweetie, like, I want to focus on that a little bit more. What is the...
And we saw Shannon do all of that.
Did
like,
we?
Like, Jenner, like, they committed to each other's life. Like, they seemed like they were endgame to me at one point. So, like, the fact that he moved on directly to someone in the circle generally and is now going in this heavy with her, if I was her, I'd be like, eek, you move quick. And now I'm just, I think, to your point, now that I'm thinking about it, like, she could have come into the show and been like, here's what Johnny J is to me. not what he was to Shannon, not that she's still ruining our lives. Like, here's what I've been up to, and here's how he fits into my life. And we now have this great life that I'd love to share with you all separately from that he's Shannon's ex-boyfriend. And that, I think, would have been more tolerable. Still weird.
Yeah.
But more tolerable.
There are so many fall rituals I'm so excited to get back into, like seeing which $50,000 ring Lisa Barlow is going to lose next. And of course, there's one ritual that deserves to be added back to your fall priorities in addition to Salt Lake. Daily hydration and energy from Liquid IV. Liquid IV Hydration Multiplier and Energy delivers 100 milligrams of natural caffeine plus 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, so you can accomplish all the things you want and need to do, minus getting Monica back to the cast. I focus every day on making sure I have enough electrolytes. When I wake up and before I go to sleep at night, I am making sure that my electrolytes are on the up and up so that I can stay there too. And also at the end of the night, when I'm looking for a little SGKK, I add Liquid IV to seltzer and I have a little bit of a seltzer spritz. For me, faster hydration is not just about workouts. It's about ensuring that my quality of life is good. It's an all-in-one formula that provides mind and body energy plus hydration that leaves you feeling focused, alert, and ready to take on anything. Tear, pour, live more. One stick and 16 ounces of water hydrates better than water alone. Powered by Live Hydroscience, an optimized ratio of electrolytes, essential vitamins, and clinically tested nutrients that turn ordinary water into extraordinary hydration. That's 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink. With 8 essential vitamins and nutrients. It's always non-GMO, vegan, gluten-free, dairy-free, and soy-free. Start a new fall ritual with Liquid IV. Get 20% off your first order of Liquid IV when you go to liquidiv.com and use code Andy at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code Andy at liquidiv.com. I started taking Hormone Harmony because when it's that time of the month, I truly do not feel like myself. Starting about a week and a half before, I get the wildest cravings, bloating, exhaustion like no other, and now it's easier than ever to manage PMS and menopause because of Hormone Harmony. Hormone Harmony supports hormonal balance and regulation, which for me is a biggie. It relieves symptoms of menopause, supports cortisol, estrogen, and progesterone levels, and improves sleep quality. Alexis and John's engagement is keeping me up at night, so thank goodness for Hormone Harmony. Hormone Harmony is not just a supplement for women going through perimenopause, menopause, or postmenopause. It's become a phenomenon. Women cannot stop talking about it on social media. A bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. It has zero sugar and is gluten-free, dairy-free, non-GMO, and third-party tested. And the biggest benefit, feeling like myself again. That's what women mention over and over in their reviews. And there are over 17,000 reviews for Hormone Harmony. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code AndysGirls at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use code AndysGirls for 15% off today. There are so many moments that make up a year. The big moments and milestones, birthdays, anniversaries, when Shan came to the Clawfist. And then there are the small moments, the slow morning spent making a decadent breakfast, running to a grocery store to get 9 lemons to put in a bowl. All of these moments come together to create our year and in the end, create our life. Artifact Uprising wants to help you preserve your meaningful moments this holiday season. Whether you want to say, I love you with the perfect gift, display favorite memories in your home, or connect with loved ones throughout the year, BCC Shan, they have a product you can personalize. Artifact Uprising is a Colorado-based company that creates premium quality, customizable photo goods for your digital photos. I just ordered a few photo books with Artifact Uprising, a hardcover travel photo book in this gorge shade of Pacific blue, which is perfect for the credenza in my living room, devoted to my first ever trip to Paris, and a photo book in midnight blue, one for myself and for my family. Moments from my childhood, my parents spending time together, it is going to be the perfect gift for Tobes and Chard. This is something incredibly special that will keep us connected. Artifact Uprising makes it easy to tell your story. Through the end of the year, AGs can give Artifact Uprising a try and get 20% off for new customers or 15% off if you've purchased before. Just visit artifactuprising.com and use code AndySCrolls through December 31.
I think her focus, and I guess their focus together, because it's really hard to figure out where Alexis begins and John ends.
Yeah.
Excuse me, Johnny J ends.
Who's John?
I know, for real. And Alexis begins. So it's hard to kind of parse through the separation here, but it is also kind of bewildering because so much of her behavior, seemingly in real time in media, and obviously from the episodes that we've seen on the show, is to say this woman won't leave us alone, so we must punish her. But I'm not getting a sense here of what she's doing. She doesn't answer it on the interview. She's not answering it in other media opportunities. She's not answering it on the show. They ask her specifically, directly during a confessional, what has Shannon done? And she won't answer the question. And I just think to myself, have you thought about it in your head, or does it not matter at this point? Because the narrative is
they're too far.
John, well, yeah. And John is a victim. So I am as well. Like, what are you a victim of?
Yeah. Like, I am not getting the sense that Shannon is bothering them. Perhaps her presence is bothering Alexis. But Shannon doesn't seem like she's doing anything to them that would cause this crazy of a emotional reaction that they're like, get Shannon away from us. It's like, you came to where she was on the show. Like, you knew she was going to be here, and now her presence is bothering you that much? It's kind of backwards.
Well, I think that they're upset because I'm sure she said, we know that she has said negative things about him in the press, right, and I assume about Alexis. But how does that, why is our immediate instinct vengefulness? Why aren't we saying, I'll prove her wrong? Because we're not living in a universe in which we're obsessing over this lady. So why don't we focus about on ourselves? Like,
right,
what else do they have? What does their relationship have if they are not coming from this, or coming at this from the point of like, we are under attack, we are victims here, and we stand together? It's almost like they're trying to prove a trauma bond with each other 100%. By going after her, but you first need to explain to me the trauma.
That, and what else is there to your relationship with one another? Because it feels like all Alexis and Johnny J have together is the bonded hatred feels strong, but like bonded disdain for Shannon, and that's what's making them closer. Whereas like, if we were to just get a peek into what her life with Johnny J is, regardless of Shannon, maybe it would feel a little less vengeful, but I don't know. It's crazy. And like in the last part of the last episode, where he just so conveniently calls her while the cameras are still there.
So convenient.
And the gloves are off and she just is sobbing on the bed in Big Bear. It's like, what is so upsetting? I'm still confused. It doesn't make sense to me, and maybe to a lot of other people.
Also, if he loves this woman so much, not to say that you cannot be honest and vulnerable with your partner, but if he loves her so much, why is he allowing Shannon to, in their minds, affect their relationship?
Right.
Why not just say,
forget
her. This is a part of my past. She does not impact me. And if I'm getting, you know, bad headlines from audience members or whatever, or
so
my Google alerts, so be it. I'll create good vibes by moving on and moving forward. He's not doing that. He's not acting in a way that makes me feel like he's protective toward anyone but himself.
Agreed.
And he also doesn't know how.
And then you're going to go take legal action and make Shannon owe you money. Like, you're deciding to keep her as part of your narrative. And that whole thing is very confusing to me, the suing Shannon for $75K.
How so?
Because it's like, did they ever say when she was given this money, was that a loan that he asked for it back? Or was it just they were in a relationship, they were sharing homes, they were sharing, you know, financials, I would assume. And like, was that just a, I'm your boyfriend, I'm helping you, you're helping me. And now all of a sudden it's like, well, you never paid me back. It's very confusing because I want to know if that was ever spoken about, that that was a loan or a gift.
Right. That gets into some tricky area. Also, the fact that he refused to sign any kind of mutually beneficial mm-hmm. NDA. It's not saying I can't talk shit about Shannon and Shannon can talk shit about me. It would have protected both of them.
Exactly.
He didn't want to do it. And now they're upset that she's saying things about him. Well, we could have eliminated this had you signed this agreement
right.
and not cost yourselves additional money. And then I have to just wonder, like, how much of Alexis is involved in here, especially if they are sharing resources. Does she have an expectation he has more than he does? Mm. Does she feel like his money is now, and I don't mean this as an insult, but like, his money is my money.
Right.
Why wouldn't you go after this for our
right,
new life
together?
Right, now
it's our 75K.
Right. Yeah.
And it just makes it that much trickier that Alexis has already been lawsuit adjacent to Shannon from another ex.
Yes. And her way of defending that has been saying, you will not see me named in a court document. But that's very different from a legal letter, which is totally. What Shannon was talking about with the cystin disease, in the words of everyone's favorite housewife. It does not make a gal feel great. It gives me more of an opportunity, one that I wish I didn't have, to really give side eye to Alexis. Of
exactly.
Because like, I wouldn't have thought of Alexis, honestly, being involved in the Jim Bellino lawsuit. And now I'm like, oh, shit. Okay, now I can actually see where those
dots
deals
connected.
Kind of started.
Yeah.
Or at least someone egging him on, potentially.
For sure. I mean, protect talk about an instigator.
Like, for real. But I don't want to think about her in that way. I don't know why. I just kind of like... there's something about it that makes me feel weird of like potentially encouraging or opening the door to taking $500,000 out of, I think, Tamara's bank account and then several hundreds of thousands out of Shannon. For what?
Like, for what?
Because they talk shit about him on a podcast. It's just to be involved in that and then say that you're doing whatever I assume that you're doing as a single parent. It's just odd. She's like much more vengeful than I maybe gave her credit for, than I want to think of her.
I agree. Like, I actually think like back when she was just like Jesus Jugs era,
yeah.
like she was just like funny. Yeah. You could just kind of be like, yes, certainly it was more of a laugh at than laugh with, unfortunately for her. But now it's like she just has such a negative aura around her that like I wish she was just that like silly, goofy, semi-annoying blabbermouth that we could just kind of giggle at. But now it's just it has this negative intention that just makes me not like her anymore.
I didn't think of her as intrinsically toxic until now. Now
exactly.
I'm like, how much of this
like she just got kind of wrapped up in stuff beforehand. Now it's like it feels like she is starting it.
Right.
And likes it, which is like, blech.
And also, how much of this is constrained to the, how much of the Alexis that we're seeing is constrained because she is a friend of?
Mm.
So we're not getting the look into her, you know, life as a mom. We're not getting
right.
into her other circle of
otherwise.
Friends. Right. We're not, I mean, although I think we would have been, mm-hmm. but maybe I'm overly optimistic. I don't know. Do you think we would have seen more positive aspects of her relationship with John if she had come in full time?
I do think so. I think that's kind of like where I was thinking before that like if we were to just see them as a couple, I think it would feel less icky that it wasn't just the only time Johnny J is included is when we're going after Shannon. Like it would be like, oh, okay, they are cute together, or oh, okay, they do have this nice relationship, and then it would kind of soften it. And now it just creeps everyone out because it seems so obsessive. Like, there's nothing else to talk about. Like, that ride up to Big Bear where she's like, blah, 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 blah. It's like, I know, I'm sure a lot of that was editing, but, like, you can't fake that much blabbermouth. It's kind of crazy.
Well, the editing is what it is, which is what she tries to say is like, oh, this is just the edit. But the women's reactions in real time is like, shut the fuck up.
It reminded me of like those same car scenes of Summer House when Sam was yapping a lot and all of the reactions, they were all like, okay, can this girl just shut up a little? And they actually worked it through very nicely. Whereas like no one's telling Alexis to like pipe down.
Yeah. It is, I don't know what it is. There's something about her. I guess it could be a
compliment.
Something
about her.
There is something about her. There is just something about her where I am fascinated, but it's not in a positive way. But also, yes. I do find her charismatic.
Like it's
I
a really can't look away.
I cannot look away.
Yeah.
And it's so... Because there is also something to be said for like me trying to like make this make sense.
Mm-hmm.
But why should I have to do that?
Sometimes they should make it sense for us.
Right. They should be at least trying to make it make sense. But they're just all expecting that we, quote unquote, know that it makes sense. And the reality is sometimes things don't. Sometimes you just have people on these shows who obviously don't make sense. Mm-hmm. And that becomes a little bit of their story arc of living in a place with like... seemingly no connection or understanding of this specific universe and how you're seen. And the other thing that I think is interesting is, you know, she really kind of toes criticizing Emily, not even toes criticizing Emily, but then, you know, our pals Comments of Bravo reposted a clip of this interview, Emily responding and being like essentially LOL, and Vicky did too. Vicky's response from her hospital bed, still living her best life. We love it.
That's where my Vicky soft spot is.
She's a fighter. She is a fighter. And to think of Alexis trying to take on Emily Simpson, she is going to
run circles around her
without breaking a sweat, once.
With her eyes closed. Like, good luck.
And then that kind of gets into the oddity of like, how do you value someone's friendship? Obviously, Alexis is upset because Emily has said things about her concern about maybe Alexis's relationship with John, but also John's behavior. But I don't think she's crossed any lines. This isn't like how she's spoken to or of Jen. Mm-hmm. This isn't any of, no, but like for real, like she hasn't gone low.
She hasn't gotten
Alexis.
Mean about it.
She's just shared her opinion. So when you think that her sharing her opinion is an affront to your friendship or her acting in a manner that is fake, buckle up.
And I think that's another part of Alexis's poor awareness, is she just does seem to think that like this is her world, even just by the way that she's trying to repair other friendships, like who is it, like Katie and Heather's friendship. She's like, Heather and I are such good friends. Like, I think I could bring you guys together. It's like, what world are you living in that you are now this like peacemaker in this group that you just came back into? It her whole like outlook on her space in this space is very confusing to me.
Well, and also this weird version of Funshan of like, wouldn't you want to be friends? Wouldn't you want to have fun with me? I'm the most fun. And I know that I strongly assume that she was joking in that moment, the way she was like gesticulating. But I'm also thinking like, sweetie, like we're not seeing any fun. I'm not seeing a lot of fun. I know that there is the capacity for her perception of fun.
Of course.
But where that meets up with the audiences, those are two entirely different spots.
I actually think that is one thing that has been such a big stark difference of this season or even the last couple seasons and those earlier seasons that I just watched, is the lack of fun is so apparent. Like, fun, I don't want to watch Tamara lick a pie off of Jen's foot. That's not fun.
Mm-mm.
Like, I want them to be friends and going out and like having those goofy dinner parties and the theme bunko nights and all those things that they used to do that actually made their friend group so different from a lot of other Housewives friend groups, because you could tell they were legitimately a family to some degree. And now it just, the two separate trips, the disconnect of it all, the lack of fun, it just feels a little unorganized in my brain.
Yeah, the fun is more situational, mm-hmm. I would say, versus when it used to be genuinely
so
more
natural.
Like environmental.
Yes.
There was just something about the women finding charm in each other.
Yeah.
I don't know how much of that can you attribute to housewives becoming much more successful as an entity, these women having more higher stakes with the amount of money that they're making, some of them getting divorced or having different changes of life circumstance that require more of an investment, and also fame. Like, maybe fun becomes different when your stakes are higher and these people really truly err on the side of colleagues than friends.
I think that has a massive impact. And I think that's why certain franchises work better than others and why certain ones don't. Like, this one still has more hope for me because I know they're legitimately connected. And yes, they want to be famous. They want to be this, they want to be that. But like certain things, like even recent Potomacs, like that has kind of fallen off because they lost the genuine friendship circle that show started as, and that show started so much later that still had the higher stakes of the fame and social media involved and all of those things, that like I still think there's hope for this one to get reconnected, but it does add a very tricky aspect to a lot of the franchises now that Housewives as a franchise is so like important. There's a lot of money behind it. And people just don't stop on social. Mm-hmm. And they all have a podcast.
They do. And speaking of seemingly the number one over there in Orange County, so having watched all of OC from the beginning, how are we feeling about Tamra?
I'm like mad at her is how I feel. Like, mad at her like she's my friend kind of thing. Because I love Tamra. I do. I think she is hilarious. I think her storyline and the fact that she's with Eddie still to this day is like very charming. Like, you don't see that a lot. That happened very fast. Mm. And they seem genuinely connected. We saw a lot with her kids, with Ryan and with Sydney and all of that. Like, there's so much to Tamra that I do appreciate and love that I'm just like, watching her beat Shannon down like this and convince herself that she's being a good friend is just making me want to like shake her and be like, get a grip. That is not what is going to make you like the head bitch in charge here. Like, you actually connecting with everyone and not being in these feuds is what will give her that center orange she wants so badly to be for her, you know, future.
But don't you think that an aggressive Tamra is a more successful Tamra? Not necessarily long term, but in the short term, Tamra taking someone on,
I think
is sort of part of her job responsibility.
It is. And I guess it's more about like how aggressive she wants the audience to think of her as, because I think she thinks her old aggressive behavior, everyone was like, yeah, go Tamra, like finally someone said it. She's kind of lost the plot on that a little bit. And it's like, you really should not have said it like that. And now everyone's kind of cringing at her rather than being behind her like, you're our person who will actually say what no one else says. She's gone a little too far, I think, because they've been friends for a very long time. Like, it doesn't have the same impact as Emily saying to Jen, like, sell your Rolex, you don't have money. Mm. Like, it just feels deeper and meaner coming from Tamra to Shannon.
Yeah, and I think Tamra, whatever her upbringing was, and we've heard about it, and her, you know, very, very early first marriage and difficulties with Ryan and her own struggle with her mental health. Like, she's been through a lot. Mm-hmm. And I know that she has learned stuff from that, but then she reverts back to like the worst parts of herself. And her focus on gleefully deploying shame is something that I just sort of can't get over, especially mm-hmm. when she connects it to this being a character issue because someone is quote unquote lying about their relationship with alcohol. You're just checking so many behaviors on the off the list of like what not to ever do.
Right.
And disguising it as this person was not a good friend or I deserve to be mean or cruel. That's just never, she's never going to win with me, not mm-hmm. that I specifically matter, but like I think win with the audience.
Agreed.
But she's now in real time seemingly pretending that she is and that we just right. don't get it. So then I'm like, okay, you're questioning this woman's character based on alcohol consumption, which I have a real fucking issue with. But also you're big questioning time. Our intelligence of people who just don't agree with what you're doing at a certain point.
Or how you're doing it.
Right. At a certain point, we don't need more information to know that your strategy is bad.
Right. It's almost like she has justified it so much to herself that she now thinks that we're all in the wrong. And it's like, look in the mirror.
Yeah.
Maybe that's not the case.
Yeah. I don't know what really, it's fascinating. I really could not love Orange County more.
Like, yeah, it's unbelievable.
I've watched the most recent episode like at least 4 times, and that's genuinely conservative. So God only knows what's going to happen with this coming week's episode. I just know I'm going to be like glued to my TV forevermore. Yep. But it really is, there's just so much conversation to have about it. And, you know, what you said about fun is interesting because then we think of New Jersey and, you know, I was like on you. It was just a scheduling thing. We couldn't make our schedules work during the height of New Jersey.
I apologize, AGs.
No, please. But I wanted to get your sense of things about how maybe the franchise in your on your dream list, maybe how it should move on, especially because you are, I don't want to like say your identity and your social security number, but I don't know if you identify as a tree hugger or team tree.
Okay.
But I'm just kind of like curious for
how we- I feel like that's a very good distinction.
So how do you identify and what are your hopes and dreams?
How I identify is a tree hugger that has respect for Melissa.
Wow.
Yes. My issue has always been with Joe, not with Melissa.
Wow. I don't know that I've ever heard that communicated. I don't know that. Will the tree huggers allow you to have a membership card or is there just a mark on
it? Yeah, I might have a demerit.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So tell me more about that. That's fascinating.
I think that Teresa has always been mad at Joe, and like we all have complicated family dynamics, like we see people have this experience and she's just kind of blamed it on Melissa, and because Melissa's has to defend Joe because they're married and, you know, don't talk about my husband, she kind of makes herself look bad when she's excusing behavior Joe has done, whereas like she seems like she could have had a little bit more of a backbone and kind of helped mend things.
Who's the she in this?
Melissa.
Okay, got it.
Yeah, because It's difficult being like a married in person to a big Italian family that has like a lot of emotions. But I felt like there were certain circumstances that maybe Melissa excused Joe's behavior to the point where if she had stepped in, she's probably the only person Joe would have listened to if she gave a little bit more of reasoning on why him and Teresa should work some things out.
Okay, so I don't know that I've ever communicated this before, but it's just occurring to me while you're talking. So I've always thought that the original sin with the breakdown, and maybe I have, I don't know, that the original sin and the breakdown of the relationship between the trio, because I'm just taking Juicy Joe out of this.
Yeah. May he bless his heart. Doing push-ups in the Bahamas.
He's living his best life in the Bahamas. So that the original sin was Melissa and Joe signing on to do the show and seemingly not telling Teresa about it. And regardless right. of telling Teresa about it, just signing up to do the show and like encroaching on her territory, mm-hmm. her dream, her fame. So I always thought that was the original sin. But associated with that, couldn't a person argue that the original sin was Joe choosing Melissa and not Teresa?
Totally. And I think that happens a lot. And I think it's just a resentment that probably goes back for generations of their family, of whoever the new person is will never stack up to the mother, to the sister, to all of those things. And like, I do love Teresa, but I'm sure she was jealous of Melissa for a bit there. Like, everyone gets like that. You know, when a new person marries your brother or whatever it is, like, there is that dynamic forever. And I just think that, like, if the show was not involved in their family, I actually think Teresa and Joe probably would have stopped talking decades ago.
Okay, I thought you were about to say something else, and I was like, nope, but what you're saying, I 100%, like, I reason totally agree.
Still
totally
in each agree. Other's lives is because of the show.
Which is the most depressing, but mm-hmm. also most realistic, I think, way of thinking about it, mm-hmm. which is such a fucking downer, because then yeah. you hear from people who absolutely well-meaning, who are like, if not for the show, they would have stayed together, but nope. I don't believe that. I don't agree with it, and I also think history... Unfortunately, this is not something I'm like thrilled about, but yeah. history is more on our side, because you think of the division between Kathy's mom and all their dad. It. Like, it's generational. They have generational yep. feuds where they cut each other out of their lives.
And perhaps both of them could have moved on healthily separately and just, you know, like, it's that age old saying, you can choose your friends, you can't choose your family. Like, as they became adults, maybe they just weren't it for each other. And I just think that that would have happened decades ago. And this, the reason why it's so frustrating for everyone involved is because they're like, I don't even want you near me, because I would have ditched you years ago because your energy just doesn't match my energy. So I think it really is a Teresa and Joe classic generational old school family situation that would not still be the case if they weren't on the show for 13 years together.
But I do also think there's an air here where I don't think that they're being like absolutely manipulative in saying, but if not for the show, like, let's dangle the carrot of mm-hmm. we could still be together. Because I think they both sides sort of use that to their benefit of, and, like, if not for the
all
show.
All at different times, right, too.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I think now they actually got to a place before this season started where they were like, we are no longer speaking. And yeah. then it was like, let's try to do the show where half films with Teresa and half films with Melissa. And because they're still connected through the friends and still had to be in the same place for a few of the events, it wasn't cut off cold turkey. And it couldn't move forward again.
I do want to get back to this, but I do just need to sidebar, because right before you got here, I saw an interview or a write-up of an interview that Garcelle had done, because one of her sons is not going to be, did not film for the upcoming season. Hmm. The son who was targeted in the racist yeah. death threats and yep. everything else, who did film this most recent season, but right. really said, Mom, I don't want to do this. There's just been such a high cost.
Yeah.
Of course, Garcelle said, absolutely, totally understand.
She's a good mom.
She's a good mom. She's a protective mom. And so, of course, she said, you know, and so this will not happen. You will not be in the upcoming season. And all of that, absolutely,
yeah.
you know, for her to share that, I think is illuminating. But also something that she said was, of anyone who reached out to her for support, the person that she remembers the most and is like essentially almost emotional about thinking about is Teresa.
Hmm.
She said that Teresa was the person who checked in on her, made sure that she was okay. And she was like, she did more than some of my cast members did, which I 100% believe.
Well, duh.
I mean, and her
they're
some of the
a little
cast
wrapped
members,
up in their own shit right
well,
now.
Well, the way that they responded to that too and the absolute delay was like, gross to me. The
total
way that,
disregard.
Unless they were able to circle it back and be like, this isn't specifically about Garcelle, this is about all of our kids. Which, sure, no kids should be attacked, but like right. they couldn't take a moment to say this is actually about Garcelle and her family.
Yep.
So the fact that she said Teresa honestly was kind of on my mind when you got here, because I was like, that's actually lovely and wonderful and an example of the ways that housewives can be a sisterhood.
Yes.
It's just so unfortunate that when it comes to the sisterhood of New Jersey, we're just at such a huge impasse where even the idea of sisterhood, like, we can't get into questions of like Orange County and fun. And I have to say, I actually do think the season of Orange County is a lot of fun.
Well,
if we're comparing
it to Jersey.
Right. No, I know. But I also think on its own, independently, I'm having a lot of fun. I think they're having a lot of fun. The, like, even Heather and Shannon, like, saying we can't see each other's eyelash extensions while
yes.
Emily and Gina are screaming at each other. And then Gina, you
know. Heather's like, I don't want to go out there.
And the sprinklers. I am having a lot of fun. Yes. And I think that they are having a lot of fun, including in high stress moments. It's just kind of been overtaken by right. some other stuff. But that still does exist. Like New totally. Jersey, we can't even have a universe, let alone a fun one.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you feel as someone who is a tree hugger, but what did you say is tree hugger, but sympathetic to Melissa? No, tree hugger, but doesn't feel the need to drag Melissa.
Yeah, I don't hate Melissa.
Okay, so how do you feel about the future of Jersey moving forward? What's your temperature check?
My temperature check is that, as much as this pains me, I think Teresa's gonna have to move on. But I think it's going to be in a way where she becomes a bigger Bravo star. She gets her own show. I heard rumors that she's moving to Miami and will join Real Housewives of Miami. Like,
what?
I know. There's the,
who said that to you?
I don't
Did
know.
You say she, that to yourself?
I wish. I wish I came up with that.
Who said that to you?
That's I saw it on TikTok, so I don't know.
That would be the worst possible idea.
Oh my God, I think it would be amazing. No, they already have a Teresa.
We already have Alexia. We already have one. We don't need two.
Yeah. But I do think there is she's already doing House of Villains this fall. Like, I do see that there is a world where Teresa actually, one, moves out of New Jersey, because her and Louie do talk about that in interviews. They love California. They love Florida. They love traveling. Like, they don't, all the kids are basically, once Adriana goes, like, they're all kind of out to college. I see a world where she kind of like moves on and becomes kind of like what Rachel Fuda said very poorly on Watch What Happens Live, that she's kind of like too big for the show, quote unquote. I think she needs to have her own show, but I don't think that means that Jersey can still stay with Melissa and Marge and all of them. It's just, it got too tainted. I think we need fresh energy. And I think the only person who can bring like a new vibe to Jersey is Dolores.
Oh, okay. I was like, I don't know where you're going with
this. I have so many different
bring
directions
back
I could
Dina
go.
Manzo.
Well, I would love the OGs to come back, but like, talk about dark.
Yeah, that's not gonna happen.
Not happening. Dolores, I see her as like the godmother mm-hmm. of New Jersey in like a the godfather kind of way, not in like a church kind of way, where like she's the only one people can like come get accepted by and like build this community, because she's the only one that both the cheesy gorgitas or whatever you call them.
Gorgita crunches.
Gorgita crunches.
Thank you. We know we're cheesy, but that's not in our title.
I love
Thank
Taco Bell.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
And the tree huggers and team trees and the few of us who are not hating both sides, everyone agrees on Dolores.
Yeah.
No one... Everyone else hates the other side. The people who are on Teresa's side, who like Jen and whatever, they hate Fuda. They hate Danielle Cabral and vice versa. All of those people never want to see Jen Aiden again. They, you know, like, I think that the only person that has the mutual respect that can make this franchise move on is Dolores. But I also think that there are just like so many other fun dynamics in New Jersey, being from there, that the show could build on, of other towns and other women and other people. Like, I keep getting stuck on like Danielle Jonas, Kevin Jonas's wife.
Yeah, who was on New Jersey.
Right, because, well, they had their own show because Kevin was a contractor for Kathy Wakili.
That's who it was. Yeah. Okay, thank you so much.
There are like very loosely adjacent people who probably are like a little younger, running their own circles. That could be a very fun show that will take Bravo some time to work through. But I don't see it moving forward like with even 75% of this cast.
You know whose skin I envy? My dear best friend, J-Lo's. I have been a J-Lo superfan since day one. Every docuseries, every movie, I am all in. And I have had the pleasure of meeting Jennifer Lopez. And let me tell you what, she is aglow. And now I'm thinking about The Wedding Planner. So, Chris Manzo, we have a movie we need to rent. And yes, we need to talk about J-Lo's beauty regimen, the goddess of glow herself. She's just shared her secret five S's to ageless skin. serum, sunscreen, supplements, sleep, and sano. In Spanish, vivir sano means live a healthy, sane life. It's the foundation of her new JLo beauty line. P.S. Did I pronounce Spanish better or worse than Vicky Gumbelson at Ondelez? Get that JLo glow for yourself with JLo Beauty's deluxe kit. The one-and-done skincare solution clinically proven to tighten and lift for instant, long-lasting results. It gives your skin a smoother, visibly brighter look, improves the appearance of fine lines and wrinkles, and protects against UVAs and UVBs. My personal favorite is that blockbuster hydrating cream. I am obsessed with a cream that does not make my skin feel oily, which is why I'm obsessed with JLo's. I get that kind of dewy glow. So if you're tired of trying to crack your own skincare code, try JLo Beauty for 60 days. If you're not completely satisfied, just return the bottles, even if empty, and get your money back. Want that JLo glow? Head to jlobeauty.com/andyscrolls and get a special gift of 4 free masks for AGs. Head to jlobeauty.com/andyscrolls for 4 free masks and free shipping today. jlobeauty.com/andyscrolls. Armoire makes getting dressed easy. With a clothing rental membership from Armoire, you can build your own perfect clothes with brands that are high quality, unique, and recommended just for you. All you have to do is take a 5-minute style quiz and select items from your personalized closet. The styles show up at your door in as little as 2 days. Then when you're ready for new clothes, just swap them out for more new-to-you styles. I am so thankful to Armoire because I was in a genuine pickle last weekend. I was rushing to New Jersey, shout out NJ, the Garden State, not hunting for new housewives, but going to a friend's baby shower, and I had literally nothing to wear. So thank goodness for Armoire. I opened my bag from Armoire, grabbed this beautiful, bright lime green Sachin and Bobby midi dress, and it fit like a glove, and it saved me all of that extra stress. There are so many benefits to Armoire. You always have something new to wear without the hassle and closet clutter. It's sustainable. You no longer have to feel bad about only wearing an outfit once, and Armoire is women-founded and women-led. Right now, AGs can give Armoire a try and get up to 50% off their first month. That's up to $125 off. Just visit armoire.style/andyscrolls. That is armoire.style, armoire.style/andyscrolls to get up to 50% off your first month and never worry about what to wear again. Try Armoire today. Much like Jennifer Aydin on her last appearance on Watch What Happens Live, and I do mean last, when it comes to summer, I need to keep hydrated, and that's why I love Fiji water. Jen's thirst might not ever be quenched, but with Fiji water, mine always is. Fiji water is Earth's finest water. Unlike the other two top premium bottled water brands, Fiji water's electrolytes are 100% naturally occurring. Fiji water has more than double the electrolytes as the other two top premium bottled water brands, giving it its signature soft, smooth taste. And that's why Fiji water is the number one premium imported bottled water brand in the U.S. And P.S., Fiji water has a perfectly balanced 7.7 pH. Get stocked up on Fiji water this summer and visit your local retailer to pick up some today. Alexis Bellino, imagine how much better her season could have gone if she had just simply quenched that thirst. And my recommendation? It's not just water, it's Fiji water.
Okay, here's my issue with like Fresh Young. First off, God bless them, but I don't know that I want to see like Rachel Fudo worked and she worked, but like it was not, I don't want to encourage housewives in their early 30s. Like we've seen it, you know, Ashley on Potomac, great. Like we've seen it work out.
Totally.
But those are not the stories that I'm interested in.
Sad.
Candace, may her memory. Those are not the stories that I'm interested in. I'm interested in like late 40s, yeah. 50s, 60s. Like that is the woman's experience that I want to see and have represented. And my concern is you put Dolo, who I want to see on TV forever.
And maybe she goes on to Teresa's show.
No, I don't want that. If we keep her on NJ and surround her by like quote unquote youth, I don't know that I love that. And I also need someone to take Dolores on. Like I think she's at her best in these little moments where she turns. And I don't know. It could feel like punching down in a way.
Yeah, that's true.
Not necessarily going to be enjoyable.
But I don't think any of these people can take her on.
Who?
Like who exists right now? Marge, Rachel, Danielle.
I don't know that Marge v. Dolo would be good for any of us.
No.
And I just think of us first.
I do too. And I think another thing that makes me think of us first is like, I think where I got a little bit of the ick with Rachel Fuda is the John Fuda of it all. And like some of the husbands wanting so much of the spotlight, which is what always bothered me about Joe Gorga. Is you're not the housewife. Mm-hmm. I know you are a couple and you're going to defend each other and I love that, but like it's the one franchise where it's like we just have a little bit too much husband drama energy, and I worry that with like how big this franchise has gotten, even Louis I'm including in this, like they all think that they are the stars of the show, and it's like I want it to go back to being about the women. And not about the families and the husbands and the kids.
Well, I want it to be about the families.
Well, not in like a, not in a way about like where they went with like Louis saying that about Marge's son. And
100%.
Like, in like a fun way about the families.
Yeah, I want it to be about the women on New Jersey as really genuinely providers for their families mm-hmm. in every way. And then some of the conflict happens when it's like, but this woman is also bringing more money and we have these very traditional kinds of dynamics, and seeing how that affects these relationships is kind of... can be really interesting to unpack, but I do want the focus on the family in New Jersey is so,
it's so important.
It's so important.
I'm like, pick another family though. Like, I feel like that could be fun too.
Totally.
Is like, give us another New Jersey generational family dynamic that obviously worked well for 13 years. It all started with a family.
Right.
And it's
two families.
And it has since
fizzled
into nothing, but there are plenty of those in New Jersey that would be extremely entertaining to watch.
Any specific areas as a New Jersey native?
I think I'm thinking more like not area specific, but more like tradition specific, or, you know, like I come from like an Italian Jewish family.
Right, we're
like
pizza bagels.
Yeah, like they're right. We're pizza, like that dynamic. Yeah. There's so much of in New Jersey. Like, give us the moms with the fights about the kids' bar mitzvahs and all of that. Like, there's so much of that that could be amazing. Like, who outdid the Sweet 16 for their kid? Like, who got the best DJ? Who got the cannoli guy? Like, there's so much of that in New Jersey that I think could be a lot of fun for the show.
So speaking of fun, how the idea of Teresa potentially getting a spinoff, I mean, it could be a travel show. It could be somebody's running away from the law. But how, if Teresa potentially got her own show, if New Jersey continued and then Teresa had something to be determined, what is Louis's role in that?
Oof. Well, hopefully for the sake of people who don't like Louis, who want to watch the show, his role is small. Like, I think it needs to be about, like, Teresa and the daughters. Like, I see it as, like, a Kardashians-type show where, like, you go into the daughter dynamic and it's, like, their boyfriends and, like, how Teresa handles that and, like, they go on family vacations and, like... We see Teresa interact with all of these other people in the Bravo universe. She's hanging out with Larsa. I know that's tough for some people, but like how she went to like the Jill Zarin brunch for Bobby in the Hamptons.
Lunch.
Yes. Like there's so much of Teresa's life that's expanded beyond like going to dinner at Rails in New Jersey that I think could be fun for Bravo-holics in general that would be fun to watch. I haven't thought through it enough, but I think that there's something there about her connecting other Bravo universes together that could be fun.
Where you're leaning into her celebrity. Mm-hmm. We're not trying to go back to Teresa early seasons because that Teresa doesn't exist anymore.
Right. Yeah, we're leaning into her appearances, her this, her that. Like, she's going to Miami and there's lines down the street to have a pool party with her. Like, that's the kind of stuff I think would be funny and fun to see. Like, how she's just like, love, love, love. Just like... It's hanging not, out.
You know, it's an original idea, genuinely, and it's not.
It's hard to come up with those these days. Everyone has a lot of ideas.
Well, I think it's also tough because the Louis of it all is a genuine challenge because he brings his instincts are not necessarily in line with, at best, what the viewers want.
I think what bums me out is you see only bad for Louis on the show, obviously. He does not help himself. There's something going on there. But, like, we get extremely small glimpses of whatever it is that Teresa loves about him. Like, Melania just went to college the other day for the first time. It made me feel extremely old. But there are these Instagram stories, I forget who posted it, Gia or Teresa, of, like, Melania sobbing and them leaving and her and Louis' hug. It was, like, so big and, like, genuine, like, stepdad leaving daughter at college, appreciate one another energy that I'm like, I feel like I have such faith in those girls that if they hated this guy, like, if he was really 100% bad, they wouldn't be that close with him.
Yeah, but they're not responsible for giving the yay or nay on their mom's relationship, nor his sense of morality.
That's true. But I think maybe him being in that, if that part was shown a little bit in this made-up Teresa show, it might make people like him a little bit more.
Mm.
If you just saw that softer side of him that wasn't like, you know, tomato face rage, like extremely... heightened energy. Like, if we could just see what they're like in, like, a less high intense place where they're competing with the Gorgas and the Josephs and whatnot, maybe it would be different.
Right. Yeah.
If they're just fully removed, which is what should have happened to the family a long time ago.
But they're not going to be fully removed if they're on TV.
True.
So I don't know, but maybe there's a way. I just don't know if he can help himself.
Yeah.
And it feels like
a little far.
Right. And it feels like he crosses into some stuff maybe in his real life with maybe some of his pursuits and business stuff. And I just don't know. I wish it was inconsistent. Mm-hmm. I wish that trait was inconsistent and only exacerbated on reality TV.
That's a great point.
I'm not getting the sense that it is. So my worst nightmare is that consistency for Teresa, her family, their family, and also for us as viewers. I just think we don't, if there is one lesson to be learned, it is like we need to find the light however we can. So how does that work if Teresa has a value to the network but is not herself necessarily living in as much as of the light? And also taking nothing away from Melania, who surely does have a great relationship with her stepbrother, which we want. I want her to feel that she is comfortable,
for her,
feel safe and protected with this person who's also stepping in a parental role because her father is literally not allowed to be in the country. So, like, there's a lot of layers there. So I want her to feel connected, safe, protected, all of that.
Totally.
So if she trusts him, if she loves him, great. That is best case scenario. That is what I want for all of those girls who've been through so much already.
So much. They seem so wonderful.
And they seem wonderful. And I don't want anything else for them in terms of dealing with any, they've already filled their lifetime because of their parents' doings. So I just want their lives to be as easy as possible. As normal as possible moving forward, where they're presented with challenges that are theirs to bear, not their parents passed down to them through trauma. So all of that.
Or their aunts and uncles.
Or their aunts and uncles, absolutely, 100%. So there is that. I just kind of, with Louis, first off, I don't know that he can help himself. I don't know what his inclinations are. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the cost would be for presenting him with light. And I also don't know what world Teresa is existing in. Because we obviously saw her in what we're being told is a very specific situation where she's dealing with this case involving her husband and an ex. And it's very toxic. And she's more troubled and upset by that than she was going to federal prison, being away from her family for a year. Oof. So that's a lot. But I also don't know, you know, she's living the world that we see presented on Instagram, we know is filtered. Plus, you're a reality TV star. You're going to want to present a certain experience. So I'm not taking away at all from, like, the kids, and you drop your kid off at college. Everybody's crying. That's an incredibly meaningful, also upsetting, jarring experience for the child and the parent.
Yeah.
You want your child to move on and become themselves. But obviously, there's a lot of genuine loss that comes with that.
And they've all been extremely dependent on one another feels a little negative, but like they have gone through a lot.
A mighty circle.
Yes.
They have gone through a lot. And it's very tight. I just also think, like, let's see Teresa in the light, because we're seeing a light on her through social media. Mm-hmm. I just don't know what her life is. I just don't know.
Maybe it's a show that's like less reality and more of like, she's a host or something of a more gimmicky kind of show, like almost more of a situation like Ultimate Girls Trip or whatever it is, where you just like put them into these 1 week situations, or Traders or those kind of things, where it's just more structured and less about like, hey, let's watch you make pizza at home, you know, like something that has like a theme to it. Like, I'm not saying she should have a talk show, but it would be hilarious.
Ironically, I actually would sort of prefer the pizza. Okay. I would prefer to see her at home, like, with the perfect ingredients, but I also don't know how much of that might be less real than seeing her on House of Villains, where you're in a totally different experience. You're brought in because it's your persona. You're a quote unquote villain.
Right.
I really, truly don't know. How do you feel about that? About her being in House of Villains, therefore being called a villain by E?
I don't hate it, because I actually like last season I loved, and I know there's like me and two other people watched House of Villains last season.
I watched it when I was in Paris because I needed something that was like completely, I loved it.
I loved it.
It was actually very funny.
Very funny. And yeah. I like, there are people on that show like a Corinne Olympios from Bachelor Nation or a Spencer Pratt that I'm like, you're not a villain. Like, sure, you had a bad role.
Spencer is a villain.
Yeah, but like now.
Oh, I don't know about him now.
Oh, my God. He's amazing now.
I think he might still be a villain. Is he not?
But like, I think the best part of Spencer is that now this would be a fun deep dive for you. Like, he goes back and talks about the Hills and everything and how it was basically all made up.
Wait, was he? I watched season one. Was he on season one?
Of the redo?
Of House of Villains?
He came as like a host guy.
He was like an expert, right? Yeah. Okay, got it.
Because he's such a classic villain. And I think villain takes on a different meaning in some of those circumstances, like, you know, the survivor people. Like, villain, you're not a bad person. You're just good at gaming.
Hmm.
So I think that it means a bunch of different things on that show. I also think it's just fun because it's more like people who have main character energy.
Yeah.
That all want to have the biggest ego. Mm-hmm. Less like, I want to burn you to the ground. And then there's Jax Taylor.
Right. And then there's Jax Taylor. So I watched it while I was abroad because I just needed something that was like, felt like, quote unquote, like stupid, dumb American.
Light.
That was, you know, just like dumb. Like, I just wanted dumb when I was like in my hotel getting ready. And so I started watching it and I was like, oh, I'm actually charmed by this.
Yes.
Like, I genuinely found it really entertaining.
And Joel McHale does a good job.
He did a great job. And the writers did a great job.
Yeah. The games are fun.
It's really, I was truly surprised by how entertaining it was. So I'm curious for Teresa on second season. I also do think it's just kind of like funny to me that she's on a show called House of Villains, which some people would say perfect fit. And other people would say, we're ignoring the title. She's a star. That's all you need to worry about, which I also understand.
Yeah. I'm kind of in the middle, somewhere between that. But I also think it's like, those are the people a lot of people love on reality TV. Like, Tiffany New York Pollard, like, I can't get enough.
But she's not a villain.
But she's the one on both seasons.
There you go. You prove the point. Yeah. It's like really titles don't matter here, except that they do matter an awful lot.
Yeah. I can't wait to see the two of their dynamic. In the preview for the season, Tiffany's like, welcome to New York, New Jersey. And Teresa's like, kiss my ass. Like, it's going to be so good.
I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be, you know, we're in for obviously a long off season for Jersey.
I would say like a year at least.
Oh, I think it's
before
a year
they even start.
I think
filming.
It's going to be a year and a half before they start, mm-hmm. and then maybe 2 years before we see anything. Yeah. All of that entirely subject to change.
Agreed. And I mean, we've seen in every interview that Andy Cohen has done, they've asked about Jersey, and he's like, literally, don't expect anything anytime soon.
Right.
And I believe that. I'm seeing headlines today of people being like, Teresa and Melissa said they'll squash the feud for the sake of the show. And it's like, can we just give it a moment?
Like a calendar year.
Literally.
We need a calendar year.
Or at least give us like until the end of this year to think about it again.
Also, don't take any of those people literally. That's true. We have a big fall, but also don't with Melissa and Teresa, either of them have said this, but like, I don't care what someone is saying of, I just need another season. It'll be okay. We know it won't. We
know
can't
it won't.
Take
we
your
tried
word
that
for
already.
It. We tried that multiple times over many seasons, and we have the receipts, also known as episodes.
Exactly. Timeline screenshots.
Yeah.
Speaking of that trailer, OC, I mean, Salt Lake. Whoa.
So good.
So good. I'm very excited for that. And that's soon.
I know. It's coming before New York, which is wild.
Which is wild.
But
like weeks.
I think it's right to do that. Yeah, weeks.
Agreed. Oh, we're going to have such good stuff back. We're going to get Potomac. We're going to get Atlanta with Phaedra back. We're going to have Beverly Hills. Like, we are getting fed.
We are. I don't know. Well, let's see what happens with Atlanta.
I'm excited.
I
need to see what happens with this Kenya thing.
Well, we're not going to. I think that they're
just
going to...
You don't get to see it at all? We just get her edited out of the whole thing?
I'm sure for many reasons. Wow. That I don't know that she'll be mentioned. I don't know that she'll be included in any of it or that they'll reference her. They might just try to work around it.
Yeah, I could see that.
Which...
Bummer.
Yeah, I don't know. I think bringing Phaedra back, I get it. But I also don't know what that means for the entirety of the season. And she should not necessarily be responsible for like making sure the season is a hit.
No, she needs to be an addition to.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll see.
I'm very happy Portia's back.
Yeah. I also don't know how all that's going to work. I don't know. They might not know how the edit of this is going to work because
they're probably
really
working
is.
On that right now.
I think that they probably are and really truly saying a prayer because it does appear to be a little bit of a logistical shit show. So I don't know how you edit this stuff at all. Like I just genuinely don't know how you can.
Just the journey of us trying
you
to figure it out and
so
them
much
trying
more
to
optimistic
out.
Than I am. About
I love
this.
Atlanta.
I love Atlanta, like, obviously. I'm a human person in this world. I love Atlanta. I'm just nervous.
If anyone doesn't watch Atlanta.
Well, no, I'm just nervous because they took
over it. You 100%. Need to watch it now.
100%. But they also took a big hiatus.
Yeah.
So the pressure was like
high.
It's been a while. Last season was a little
bit
of a mess.
What's going to happen in Jersey?
Well, we need to learn from Atlanta and really have parameters around what should and should not be considered entertainment that are really set so that this isn't like a wink, wink surprise when things happen unless you wanted them to or unless you created an environment where someone would think this was possible.
And then there's franchises that are on a hiatus for seemingly no reason, like Miami, where they're not filming and they're missing everything under the sun.
I will never forgive them for not being there with cameras up when Alexia got.
Are you kidding?
The like Google alert notification she was getting a divorce. I'll never get over it.
The launch of the Larsa light. We're missing everything. Julia's adopting
twins.
Twins.
And I thought she was adopting older boys, but then she.
How old are they?
I don't know, but she posted a screenshot, I think, of diapers. So I think they're like a couple years old, maybe.
Wow.
I know. And Lisa's,
again, no cameras.
And no cameras. And Lisa, I saw an ad that she was doing the other day for her fragrance, which I wish I could afford, but it's like $9 million.
So unnecessary.
Otherwise, I would do it. Yeah, I was just
like Marcus Jordan of it all.
Do we care about that, though?
But like him getting caught in Miami on the yacht, those paparazzi pictures. Like, I would love Lars's interpretation of that. There's just so much going on down there that I'm sad we're missing. Gertie, everything.
Lisa's, I'll never get over this. I don't know why, but 1.7 ounce of Lisa's Fly Parfum, 50 milliliters is $165.
Shut up.
3.4 ounces is $225. So you could either
That's like
overpay,
more expensive than Prada candy.
No, for Prada candy? Prada has candy?
No. The oh, fragrance. Fragrance?
Did you just see my eyes light
yeah,
up?
She's like, we'll eat, we'll buy today.
I was like, oh my God, I want a Prada lollipop. No, this is genuinely, that's like some Tom Ford pricing.
Yeah.
Really, I don't know that the consumer based, I'm not spending $225 on a joke, regardless of how phenomenal it
exactly.
might be.
Exactly. Agreed.
I'm not,
I would like to smell it, but I'm not going to buy it.
No. Yeah. I would
if
like
they,
to smell
maybe
it.
Maybe they have a, they'll do a travel size and we can get that.
Totally. For the Bravoholic on the go.
Yeah.
I'm here love. For it. I'm here for it. Listen.
Oh God, I'm getting holiday gift guide ideas already.
This was such a delight. Thank you so much for coming back. You truly blew my mind with your new, I mean, with everything, but also the New Jersey of it all. I was delighted.
Wow.
Delighted.
See, there are some tree huggers that are level-headed and I'm one of them.
Put some respect back on the tree hugger title.
Exactly.
I did not know that was possible.
Hope more follow in my footsteps.
I mean, and speaking of, where can people follow you online?
You can follow me on Instagram at Abby Bonadies. On TikTok, I'm flowcharting away, making all of the content you need to know about how everyone's connected. And of course, giving you reality TV updates at Abs Bon and threading.
Wow.
We're
we
threading.
Love thread. We love thread.
Last time I convinced you to start threading and you have.
I have.
You have.
I have.
We love threads. So follow us both
have.
There.
We love, love threads. Speaking of, did you say Instagram?
Yeah.
Okay, great. I was about to say, did you say Dame Gally? You
can and at Dame Gally on Instagram.
You can follow me on social on IG at Dame Gally. Also on Threads, I literally just forgot who I was and where I am. And the recently announced merch collection with myself and Bravo, Bravo, Ducking Bravo is available. Links to buy in the show notes for this episode. It is, we did a send it to Karen at example.com hoodie collection.
Perfect.
Inspired by James Leonard, America's lawyer.
Perfect.
And couldn't be more thrilled about it. Two sizes avail, two different sizes fits avail. There's like a sort of, like shrunken size and an oversized. So we truly love. Have everything marked off the list for whatever your little heart wants to enjoy. So the link is in that in show notes. And again, that is not, we're literally, I think we're making like $2. So so it's not a way of financially supporting the pod. It's just because BBDB and I both wanted to wear this because we thought it was funny. And then we heard from Patreon supporters after we put up an episode deep diving it who were like, we want the hoodie too. So it is up now. It's truly our, it's our charitable giving for the year.
So good. I love that.
It's so funny. It's, I can't
stop. Well,
I'm
adding that to
it.
My holiday gift guide.
You know what? It's got to be there. It really does. And speaking of things to gift, tis the season of giving, signing up for the AG Patreon. Number one way to support the pod. You get exclusive bonus episodes and so much more at patreon.com/AndysGirls. Abby, thanks so much for coming back.
Thanks for having me. I can't wait to be back already. We have a lot to talk about this fall, so I'm back.
You really are. There's going to be a ton to discuss. We are so thankful to the Bravo gods and to all of you for listening, and we will chat with you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye.